Whether you're screaming from the stands or the sofa, Virgin Bet has even more for you to shout about this season. Because we're giving you a totally free bet builder on a selected football match every week this season. So get ready to make some noise. Join us and claim your bet builder free bet every week. Virgin Bet, a good bet. Use Bet Builder free bet on selected match by kickoff. Min odds evens. Max one free bet, £1 to £20. Except via pop-up. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Bet responsibly. Gamblerware.org.
No, you go through every year and the league will come in and they'll give you a video of good hits, good plays, bad plays. And they'll map out, this is a good hit, this is a bad hit. And it's funny how that changed throughout my 10 years. A good hit my first year, you're getting suspended two or three games in my last year. Morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Tim's going to have to dial that intro. He does all our editing and he just doesn't like it when I scream like that. But thank you for joining us today. A nice January. Can you believe January's already over, Tim? Isn't it crazy?
It is crazy. Yeah, it's weird month, ton going on, but good to see you. How are you, John?
I'm doing well, good and bad. You know, when you wake up and you're feeling good. I felt good this morning. I had a good night's sleep last night. Like, honestly, 10 hours. I went to bed like around 9, woke up around 6. So I don't know how many hours that is, but it was a good sleep.
Rare for you.
Rare is right. Usually I'm working on 6 hours, but it was nice. I didn't go to bed happy, Tim. And we were just looking at the agenda for this show, going through, you know, what we're going to talk about. There's a lot of negative stuff happening in the world today, specifically around hockey. And the show is going to be a negative show. So if you're listening and you want to come away with a feel-good show, turn it off now. Because it's going to be a negative show. And it's just the nature of what's happening around the league right now. And it kind of came to a culmination last night for me, just getting ready to do the show in the morning. My wife took the big girls to go skating and to go to church last night. That's fine. So I had the 5 little kids. And she sends me a text. Hey, can you take the big van and throw some gas in it and also take out the recycling? Easy. Right, Tim? Easy. I'm doing that. No problem. We swing by the house first, the new house, to check out the progress. Everything's going fine. They got the drywall's almost done. They painted the ceilings. The finished paint looks great. Jump back in the van. Go get gas. Not a problem. I decide to go to the recycling place in Sutton's Bay. Close to the gas station. Makes sense. I usually go in Traverse City. Not a big deal. I'm driving out there. I'm going like 45 on M22. Which is a 55-mile-an-hour road. I'm just dry. It's a beautiful night. Me and the kids are chatting. Everything's going good. All of a sudden, I see 8 deer running across 22. And I'm like, in my head and out loud, I go, I'm going to hit these deer. I'm going to hit them. Sure enough, Tim, sure enough, these deer, and there's a pack of them. It's not one. Usually you can dodge one. I'm not even kidding you. 6 to 8 deer. It happened in a flash. And the way the road works is obviously the road is flat. To my left, it's a hill. And the road goes flat. And to my right, it kind of slowly goes off to the lake. I'm heading north. The deer get just a ton of speed coming down the hill. And I'm with my kids. I'm in a van that's not very, you know, maneuverable. And there's a car coming at me. So I can't try to dodge them. And I use the mantra, I'd rather kill the animal than put myself in danger. And I've done that many times with squirrels, with raccoons, possums, everything. I'm not trying to dodge this animal. I slow down. I go, I'm going to hit this son of a gun. And sure enough, I think I hit 4 of them. And Tim's look right now is unbelievable. I know. And so the deer almost... I don't know how this happens to me always. I find myself in these situations. I'm, like I said, I'm going 45, so I'm going a decent clip. I hit one deer right on the front left corner. I get T-boned by another deer in my driver door. So he hits my door, and then I hit the other two in my front left tire, and I think I hit one. I ran one over because it went down. It hit the other deer, and I ran it over. And so I'm like, shoot, I hit these deer. I pull off to the side of the road. I put my four ways on. I inspect the damage. I got deer's fur in my tire. My front door is completely dented in. My front light is gone. It's just a disaster on the front driver's side. The whole side of the thing is just a wash. My bumper's dented, and it's a big steel bumper. I was driving the Nissan NV. It's a big vehicle. It has the frame for the big Nissan Titan pickup truck. So it's a big vehicle. And so I pull over, doing my damage. All of a sudden, I see a police officer. His lights go on. I'm like, oh, nice. A cop was driving by right at the right time. So he pulls over, and he's inspecting the deer. And the deer are twitching. You know, they're doing their thing. I buried them. Like, I know I hit at least two good, and one hit my door. I think he survived, and I ran over one. I don't know who was who. All of a sudden, I hear, boom, boom. He's burying these deer in the middle of M22 with his gun, shooting them, just like cleaning up. So I turn around, and I pull up behind this officer, and I'm like, hey, do you need anything from me? And he's like, yeah, was it, you know, more than $1,000 damage on your car? I'm like, yeah, like, definitely. And he checks it. He's like, oh, yeah, we're going to have to write a police report. You can give it to your insurance company. I pull over, and he takes my ID. He comes back like 5 minutes later and goes, you the hockey player? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you got a podcast? I'm like, yeah. he didn't say the podcast part. I just did that for your edification. But it was just like unbelievable. So I just like buried four deer, killed two of them. They were lying in the middle of the road. He drags them off, the blood stained from the street right to the side. Just a disaster, all because I was trying to do recycling. I'm like, how does this happen? Terrible, terrible, terrible time.
You know, when you watch a sitcom and like every episode, like something crazy happened, you're like, okay, this is fun, but like not that many things would happen to like one person or one family. I wouldn't believe this if I didn't know you. Just the stuff that's been happening lately. So what time of night was it?
6 o'clock.
Okay. So it's not even dark.
The sun just went down at 5:40.
Okay.
So we're still getting that, you know, the sunset coming over the western hill.
How much did the kids see or understand what had happened?
They were doing their own thing. You know how kids are in the car. They're not aware. After I hit, it's so funny. We're sitting in the van afterwards. All of a sudden, I hear my one daughter go, I really hate deer now. I'm like, that's sweet. But they didn't get it until after we'd hit them. And then they're like, those deer ran right out. But I could have told them the deer like did whatever, and they would have agreed with me because they were just in their own world.
Well, it's probably good that it was the younger ones and not the two older ones, because they probably would have been pretty upset about.
Nah, animals. I don't. They're so desensitized by this stuff. And we see deer all the time. So it's not a case of like, oh, this is so crazy. We dodge deer on the daily driving around this area, especially because no one hunts anymore. There's too many deer, overpopulation. Yeah. We got to do something to thin the herd out. But
so is the car drivable right now?
Yes, okay. Drivable. And here's my other fear. So they stopped making this car 2 years ago. I'm going to take it in to get fixed, and they're going to say, we have no parts.
Here's my other fear. The deer are going to come back and get payback on my property.
Revenge. But like, how do you get a door if they don't make them anymore? I don't know. And I need a front quarter panel, and I need a new front bumper, and I need a new headlight. And I'm going to try to milk it all for its. I've had so many insurance claims with this insurance company, and they've been very sweet, and they paid everyone out. But Tim, I'm telling you what, over the last 10 years, I'm just thinking of how far this goes back. 10 years. Well, I had the flood right after the All-Star game or before the All-Star game. So yeah, 10 years. I've made 2 flood claims, 3 car claims, totaling probably almost $700,000. Crazy, right? Absolutely bonkers. And they still have me as a client. My rates are through the roof. You should see my rates every month. It's crazy. But I figure when I die, I'm gonna still be in the black. There's no way I'm paying $700,000. So everybody whose insurance rates goes up because of me, I just can't stay in trouble.
There's so many headlines about like home insurance, car insurance, everything else is going up, up, up. And here in North Carolina, big time because of the storms last month.
Yeah.
The winter. But yeah, it's people. It's you. It's you, John.
People like me. Well, these damn deer and these floods, I can't get away from them. So anyways, that was a crazy night. And it just rolls right into today's episode. It's just negative, negative stuff. It's like, talk about a sitcom. Talk about people not believing what's happening week after week after week. The Vancouver Canucks find themselves back in the news because their president, Jim Rutherford, basically saying what everybody knows. But coming from a team president, coming from the highest echelon of an organization, barring the owner. Like, this guy controls everything that goes on with this team. He hires the GM, the coach, the play. He has to sign off on everything. He was brought in from Pittsburgh to right the ship in Vancouver. And he comes out and he makes some very, very glaring statements. Tim, run through these statements for us and we'll go through them, because they're shocking.
Yeah, so everyone knows the history, obviously, and I want to point out before I read these statements that I don't know if it was before the holidays or right after, but both Pettersson and Miller said, like, there's nothing here, guys. Like, we get along just fine. We don't have to be best friends. Like, I'll bring him out. We'll do a joint press conference if you want. Like, we're totally fine. Don't read into this. Now, here's the president. Here's their boss's boss's boss. He said, quote, we're talking about two of our top players, certainly our two best forwards. It can be really tough on a franchise, not only present, but into the future. When you're planning on peaking this team into a contending team, and then you find out that's not going to happen, or at least it's not going to happen with the group we have now, then you have to put together a new plan. Now, the part of this I want to read, it's bigger than just Pettersson and Miller, and this is why I'm glad he's calling it out. It affects this whole team's trajectory. Think about the last 5 years of, like, this group being together. It was 2 seasons ago where they just missed the playoffs with a late season run. Last year, they kill it. They just take a major step forward, and you think, okay, now they've arrived as a contender. We thought, we'd be here now. Now they're barely in a wild card spot, and they're talking about blowing up the team because of two guys not getting along. It impacts not only their play, but the entire room at this point. Now the GM and the owner and the president all have to figure out, where do we go from here as an entire organization?
What are your thoughts on this? Why? I want to get your take. Why does he do this? Because he doesn't have to give an interview. Presidents very rarely are open about their thoughts on their team. They keep it close to the vest. Why do you think Jim Rutherford does this?
I think probably there's a few things here. I think he's signaling to the rest of the league publicly that, like, listen, something has to change. They've been trying to make a deal for a long time now. It's been a lot of news. And even in this article I read in the New York Times, said that they reached this decision 7 weeks ago, which is early December, concluding that there's no way to move forward long term with both of these guys on their team. They've tried moving Pettersson. They've tried moving Miller, trying to figure out, find the right suitors. It hasn't worked. And now he's, like, probably a little bit of desperation, but hopefully it's more of a calculated thing. It was just getting this out there, like, make no mistakes about it. Rest of the NHL, we need to make a move. And it's on these guys that we got to this point in the first place, because we built a great roster. We have developed young talent. We signed these guys long term. We should be contending for cups right now, but instead we're breaking it up because of two guys not getting along.
This is a team that won the Pacific last year, and we thought they kind of shaken off all the skeletons in the closet and they were on their way to potentially a dynasty. All these guys are relatively young. They're hitting their prime very, very soon. Like, Pettersson's 26. Quinn Hughes is 25. You got Ronick. You got some good pieces on the back end. You have, like you said, a very deep roster. I think he does this for job preservation, because he completely takes the onus off of himself. I don't know how long he's been there. 3, 4, 5 years, whatever. He puts this on Pettersson and Miller, saying, this is the reason why we're not being successful. This is why we haven't won. These two guys are top two players, and he says it. This is their top two forwards. They can't get along, and that trickles down through the whole roster. He's right, but do you come out and say that? I always look at things, what good comes from this? Everybody knew there was a problem. Everybody knew these guys were on the market. They've been trying to trade them for a long time. All this does, in my eyes, is just devalue JT Miller even more. They've had potential trades on the table with the New York Rangers for a long time now. Maybe this forces JT Miller to open up his net a little bit as far as a no move clause. Maybe he's trying to force JT Miller to say, hey, you're the problem. It's out there. I'm not going to, protect you anymore. You need to go. I don't know what the good comes from this, because they talked to JT Miller after the practice yesterday, and they, like, straight away, what do you think of Rutherford's comments? You heard what he had to say. You and Pettersson are a problem. You don't have chemistry, blah, blah, blah. You're two top players. What do you think about his comments? And JT Miller just straight up, he said, I don't have one. I don't have a comment for that. Which, coming from a guy like JT Miller, who never shies away from an interview, never shies away from giving his comment, he He's a very outspoken player. If you followed him throughout his career, he's been on this show a couple times. He's a great interview because he shoots from the hip and he tells it like it is. For him to say, I don't have one, he's pissed, man. Like, he is upset at this situation. The fact that it's out to begin with and the fact that the president is just pouring gasoline on it. Absolutely pouring gasoline on this situation. So I'm shocked by the president coming out and making this statement. It doesn't make it better. It doesn't make you be able to go into a negotiation situation and have the leverage. You're dealing from a disadvantage. I don't get it. I don't know. Other than he is saving his tail, because now he can go to the ownership and say, hey, man, I put a good roster on the table. I've assembled a great team. These two guys don't get along. It affects the whole roster. Something needs to happen. But it's not my fault. I've done my job. That's the only thing that I can see that makes sense to me for him saying these things.
Yeah, it is not tied to a single incident, because he talks about how, like, they'll make progress and things will go well for a time, whether it's a couple of weeks or whatever. And then something happens, one of the guys snaps or whatever at the other, and the club's back to square one. And this is the part that I think is probably the most damning about the whole thing. He said, quote, when you don't have chemistry, it's hard to be that consistent team because there's too much going on in the room for everyone to concentrate on what they're supposed to do. So he was asked, does that mean that the Millis and Pedersen drama has impacted the entire team? And he said, yes. Yep. So this is in black and white. There's no reading between the lines here. He's saying the reason this team isn't as good as it should be and really is way below their expected performance level is because these two guys not getting along. So it has to be pretty bad for the GM to come out and say, or president to say this. So, yeah, I don't know where you go from here.
And let me just... Locker rooms are tricky. There's 23 guys. They're forced into this pressure situation. The reason they can't concentrate on ice stuff is not because there's drama. It's because it gets out into the press. It's because they're asked about it all the time. There's been locker rooms where guys have slept with other guys' wives. There's been locker rooms where bad things have happened. It doesn't affect the on-ice stuff, because they aren't inundated with it all the time. You see how frustrated JT Miller was when he had to say no comment, I don't have one? He just looked like he was done because he's been asked this question. And I don't even want to text a guy to come on the show because he's probably just getting bombarded with people. Hey, what's your take? Come on, come on, please, please, please. What are you doing? What's the next step? He just looks like he's spent. Playing hockey should be fun. It's a job, yes, but it's like a kid's game. And he doesn't look like he's been having fun for a long time. And back to my point of teammates being bad to each other, some of the biggest stars have done some really shady things in the locker room. I've had teammates I don't like. It doesn't affect the on-ice production because you go out there and you do a job, and then you just don't hang out with the guy off the ice. That's fine. But these guys have it affect the team and the entire organization is because the president comes out and says stuff, things get leaked to the media, and it's just an everyday thing. And that's why it's affecting everybody, because it's just not fun to come to the rink. You think JT Miller is getting there early to get some work in? You think he's staying late to hang out with the boys and, you know, work on some stuff and watch video and go over things and strategize? No, he's getting the hell out of there. Why would he want to stay? It just creates rumors and drama. So it's too bad. A promising team, Tim.
Yeah, a team that we would have, you know, wanted to see at the top of the standings right now. They're barely hanging on to that second wild card spot. They have won three in a row. They're getting goals in production from these guys. And Quinn Hughes, of course, is just incredible. So we'll see what this team does. But you have to think in the next, by the deadline, one of them's gone, probably JT Miller.
But for what? And that's the thing that boggles my mind. So if you're their GM, Alvin, whatever the hell his name is, how do you package this guy up? Okay, terrific hockey player, 31 years old. He's got an 8-year deal, $8 million per. He's got a boatload of baggage. How do you package this guy? I don't understand what you get from the Rangers, because apparently that's the only team that they're allowed to talk to, because he wants to go to New York. He has a full no-move clause, so he can nix any trade, rightfully so. That's within his power. So if you're the Rangers and you're offering Vancouver, why the hell, like, oh, we want Hedl and a first rounder and a prospect. If I'm sitting there and I'm Chris Drury, I just go, no, No, you can keep JT Miller then. How about this? I give you a first rounder and that's it. That's it. Like, I have all the leverage here. I don't need JT Miller. I don't. You need to get rid of him. So that's, I don't know, what makes sense? What makes sense for a JT Miller deal?
Yeah, I don't know. It's you have to think about how that contract's going to age. Like, he's going to be old when this is done. And not everyone ages well. And a lot of times it feels like one of those, like, within 18 months of it being signed, you're like looking to get it off your books.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many like that in the last couple of years, examples we can point to. I'm not saying that's going to be the case. I hope it's not, but teams are going to be careful about wanting to commit to him for that term. Otherwise you're looking at a buyout situation. So I don't know. I hope he gets moved to a good team and everyone can walk away the better off for it, but this could get ugly.
Yeah. He's on pace for 70 points. That would be his lowest total in a while. So it's just, he's not having a great year. He's got 9 goals in 40 games. He's on pace for less than 20. So he's having a very, very much so down year for him. And then Rutherford, to just add insult to injury, I think he was asked, well, if you're in a full blown rebuild, what does that mean for the Canucks? He's like, we'll trade everybody. That even means Quinn Hughes. Like, everything is on the table here. And isn't that a bold thing to say, that you want to trade Quinn Hughes, the captain of your team, your future guy you're going to build around? Yeah, he's on the table. If I'm Quinn Hughes, and you, before the show started, you said he's your favorite Hughes player, which is a bold thing to say, because you, like, got a Jack Hughes back piece on your back.
What makes a good bet? At Virgin Bet, we think it's a simple bet, a responsible bet, a last-minute winner when you're down to 10 men kind of bet, with generous offers. A bet that puts sport first. Sound like your kind of bet? Then you're ready to get started. Sign up and get £20 in free bets when you bet £10 on sports. Virgin Bet, a good bet.
New members, min bet settled in first 14 days, 1.5 minimum odds. Free bets valid 7 days on sports. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Bet responsibly. 18 plus, gamblerware.org.
What if you're Quinn Hughes right now? What are you thinking? You said, I got these two babies bickering with each other all day, every day. I'm having a career year. I should potentially be up for the Hart Trophy, like you mentioned, too. He's got 58 points for Pete's sake in 46 games. He's playing great. Do you want to return to Vancouver? Because don't look now, his deal's up in 2 years. What are your thoughts here, Tim, on Quinn Hughes?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, part my mind first jumps to, like, okay, does he want to go play in New Jersey? Like, the Hughes of,
you know, oh my gosh, stop,
love to play together, right? No, I think Hughes is one of those guys that's, and he's still young enough too. I think he lives separate from timeline of organization. I think no matter where he is, where the organization is, you keep him on there. He's that good. He can run an offense from the blue line. Like, he's not someone that you ship around to, like, go be competitive again in a couple of years, because he's going to be elite for another decade. So I don't think there's any scenario in which you can improve either the short or long-term future of your team by getting him off the roster.
I think the power lies with Quinn Hughes. So I think Jim Rutherford knows that if he gets rid of Miller and he gets rid of Pettersson, which has been talked about, do you think Hughes is going to want to re-sign with this team? Not a chance. Not a chance in the world. He will
be a UFA too.
I know. That's what I mean. He'll be 28. He'll be highly sought after. His number will be 14, 15 million by that point. So, and he's just been treated like crap. Like, he honestly has been within this organization. They spend so much time on the forwards and bickering, and nobody's paying attention to this guy. He's having a fantastic year. The drama is overshadowing his greatness. He should win the Norris. He should be up for the Hart Trophy. It's crazy. All right, moving on. Speaking of just dirtbags, Mark Stone of the Vegas Golden Knights. He got himself into some hot water this week because he just basically made a spear tackle on Miro Heiskanen when Miro Heiskanen was exiting the zone. And Mark Stone is just coming up with all kinds of excuses. Oh, I was tripped. Oh, I didn't mean to. I was going for the puck, this and that. Miro Heiskanen's out. It was a dirty, dirty play. His knee got bent, something fierce. It does not look like he's coming back anytime soon. And for the Dallas Stars team, that is one of the Stanley Cup contenders on that short list, Tim. This is a big deal for them. You're a Mark Stone fan for some reason. You like the Vegas Golden Knights. What did you think about the hit? What do you think? What should the consequences be for Mark Stone?
Consequences, probably none. I mean, we would have heard by now if there was going to be review or supplementary discipline, whatever. I do think the play was reckless. Well, I don't think he intended to like bend his knee back the way that he did, but he didn't get tripped. I don't really see that. You watch the play, like a stick sort of touched his skate maybe a second before.
Yeah.
It didn't impact like the direction he was going. He lunged forward. It wasn't over a trip. So maybe to him it felt like one, but it felt more like a dive. Like he was diving at the play, and it's one of those, the reputation precedes you. Like he's got one for taking liberties. He's not a dirty player, but he's had some questionable plays over the course of his career, like a Kucherov, like a Marchand, guys that like pretty often cross the line more than most people do. And when it happens again, you tend to think, okay, this fits in with what I already know about Mark Stone, so it's not super surprising. So yeah, I would call it a dirty play, and hopefully Heiskanen is not out too long. But even the short time, and there's no timetable yet, but like it's going to be weeks. Like it's not going to be soon. Hopefully he's back for the playoffs and doesn't impact the long term. But yeah, I'll call it a dirty hit.
Yeah, it definitely was. And you could sit there if you're Mark Stone and say, well, I was going for the puck. It wasn't intentional. I was tripped a little bit. I was falling down. When you fall flat. You don't dive at somebody. He maybe got caught off balance with the stick. But then after that, he intentionally dove at the puck. And while doing that, he buries his shoulder into Heiskanen's knee. There's no way around that. It's clear as day on the video. And the fact that he's defending himself after the game, saying, oh, it was an accident. I was going for the puck. I was tripped, this and that. No, you're responsible for your body and for your actions. And we've seen it time and time again of guys, you know, hitting someone in the head or getting someone from behind or high sticks or this and that. They go, oh, it was an accident. Yeah, but you're still responsible for your body. And in this case, he lunged at Heiskanen. And yeah, he got the puck, but you also took a guy's knee out. A star player's knee. It doesn't matter who it was, but Heiskanen's a star in this league. And I was talking to Tim before the show just about this and other stuff. And I was like, what if this was Rempe? What if Rempe was in the neutral zone and he got tripped up and he dove at Stone? And Stone's out now. People would be calling for his head. So I feel the fact that Mark Stone is the captain of the Vegas Golden Knights. He is a star in this league. He's won the Stanley Cup. They just give him a pass. And that shouldn't happen. He should get 3 games for this. This is a dirty play. It's not a hockey play. It's a football dive. He's like a linebacker diving on a running back trying to tackle him. This is not a hockey play where you just say, oh, it was, you know, got his feet tangled up or it was an accident, a freak play. Stone initiated it. Heiskanen went down. And he should be suspended for that. It's a dirty play. It's an absolutely dirty play.
One of the things you said a lot in the show is what you just said about, like, at the end of the day, you're responsible for your body, your stick, your positioning, like things like that. Is that something that like is just like obvious or inherent as a player? Or is that something you guys are taught of like, hey, when this situation at the end of the day, does that come from the league, the team, or is that just something that's your thing?
You go through every year and the league will come in and they'll give you a video of good hits, bad plays. And they'll map up, this is a good hit, this is a bad hit. And it's funny how that changed throughout my 10 years. A good hit my first year, you're getting suspended 2 or 3 games in my last year. But you get the warnings and it's more so for hitting, more so like 5 feet from the boards or middle of the ice, neutral zone type stuff. Like this is what you can do and this is what you can't do. And they always stressed, you are in control of your body. The onus of the hit is on the hitter, not the hitty. So if he puts himself in a bad situation, you still are in control of the outcome. And in this situation, Mark Stone is in control of his body and Heiskanen does have the puck. So he's the hitty and Stone's the initiator. So yeah, you are taught. You have to control what happens. If a guy's in a bad position on the boards and you can hit him, doesn't mean you should. You know, he could turn and you see his numbers and you bury him from behind. If a guy has his head down in the neutral zone and he's looking at the puck, you can hit him, should you? And you hit his head and then he's concussed and, you know, all the things that go along with it. So, yeah, it's not harped on, but they do talk about it. The NHL does. I think they do it to protect their own tail, just to say, hey, we told the players that's a good hit, that's a bad hit. But they do go around and they probably still do it. They go around and tell each team, okay, sit down, we got a video for you. They go through that, they go through all some other stuff like don't drink and drive when you're in this shinny, you know, all don't get in an elevator with a woman if you don't know her. It's like, okay, all these little tips and pointers and stuff, they try to protect the players as best they can. But yeah, it's It's a dirty hit, Tim. I've said it a million times now, this show. He should be suspended. He won't.
The last thing I'll say for this is there's a lot of people talking about, well, you remember the Jamie Benn when he hit Mark Stone when he was down and cross-checked him in the head. You guys can't talk about it. Like, well, no, the Jamie Benn thing was 32. Yeah. So is this hit is dirty. There's no like false equivalency there. I think they were both 30 and we'll see if anything comes out of it. And hopefully Heiskanen, we get some good news and he's back, you know, sooner than later.
Yeah, it looked bad, but hopefully he's back. Like you said, he's a big part of that team. All right, moving on. Former three-time or two-time Stanley Cup champion, the Chicago Blackhawk, Brandon Saad, waived by the St. Louis Blues yesterday. Sent down to the AHL team?
Yeah, that was the intent. But then the news came out as soon as he cleared waivers that he and the team are mutually terminating their contract.
Oh.
There's no hard feelings. It's a business decision. He understands that, you know, it's not working out there, and he wants to have the freedom to go play with another team. So they terminated the deal, and that gets it off the books for the team. And the player walked away from another year at $4.5 million AAV, which would have been $3.6 million of real money in his pocket that he's passing up on. Now, I don't know what in front of me his career earnings, but that's a good chunk of change. So you have to think he's going to sign somewhere soon, probably around the league minimum. And one of the rumored teams is Edmonton, but we'll see what comes out of that. But yeah, they've tried to trade Saad for several weeks, no takers. So they waived him, terminated the contract, and now he's free to sign anywhere.
Yeah, moose of a player. Like, obviously, well known. He's a burner. He's lost his step the last few years, but he's 32. He's got some miles left on him, but great player. I think he would be a great addition to a team contending, especially if he's only going to want league men. Man, oh man. Like, what a luxury. The bidding war. He should sign by the end of the week. I bet you he's going to do his due diligence, talk to a few different teams, and pick his spot. That's a luxury. You can go to a Florida. You can go to a Washington, Carolina. Every team will want this guy if he's coming in on a league minimum. It's great move by St. Louis. Good organizational awareness saying, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs. We have this guy. We don't want him on the roster. We can't trade him. Let him go. Let him go find a team. Players see that. You know, they get it. And that's why St. Louis has never been an issue for players. But very nice of them. They're not too far out of the playoff run. But do you think Edmonton makes the best sense for him?
Yeah, there's one report from, I think, Jordan Schmaltz, his name is. They said there was a connection already between him and Stan Bowman from the Chicago days. Yeah. So maybe we see that happen. But I think, like you said, a lot of teams should be calling this guy. So they tried to trade him, but it was more because of the money. No one wanted to pay him $4.5 million on their books. But if he's coming in at league minimum, like you said, he's a great veteran addition on the, you know, middle six forward. So he'll sign with someone, and hopefully he'll have a chance to play for a cup.
Telling you, Colorado would be a good spot for him. They need some offense. He would be good. He's not going to be a first-line guy, but maybe a second. Playing with Middlestead, maybe, or Lykkanen, maybe bump Nietzsche's down. But yeah, Colorado would be a great landing spot for him, where he's needed the most. Obviously, he's going to go somewhere else where he thinks he can chase a cup. But all right, anything else? Moving on to it.
Yeah, there's some quick hits here. So the big one right now is Utah said it's no longer pursuing the name Yeti. They just couldn't get it because of trademark issues, and they couldn't get the name passed through whatever that system is. So they're going to have they're going to stick with the original name for now. And the final three for like probably starting next season are either Utah Hockey Club, which they are now, the Utah Mammoth, or the Utah Wasatch, which I don't even know what that is. So it's not going to be the Yeti, which is too bad. I think that's a good one. Do you think the Utah Hockey Club, you just stick with that moving forward, or do you go with Mammoth? What would you do?
No. Like you get rid of the Hockey Club. This is just like the Washington Football Club got rid of it and went with the Commanders. I think you have to have something you can market. You have to have a mascot. You have to have a logo. You have to have something you can sell. I don't see – like, it's not a soccer team. Like, I get soccer teams do that, but – you need a name. And then I don't know what is a Wasatch. It's probably some Native American thing. Sounds in Utah, right, yeah. I would imagine that
it's the mountain range. It's the mountain range out in Salt Lake City.
Oh, okay. Well, that's dumb. You go with Mammoth. But again, Mammoth, you got to get the trademarks for it. Because isn't Mammoth like a company? It's a hill, a Utah Mammoth. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
I knew Yeti. Everybody knew Yeti wasn't going to work.
You know what? Pete Blackburn, our old friend of the show, said it should be the Utah Clubbers, which is a head nod to the existing, you know, hockey club name. But then you could have a picture of a Sasquatch or Yeti holding like a big stick. That's the club. That'd be kind of cool.
What? There's a team called the Clubbers right now?
No. That's what he's saying. That's what the team should be. Like, that's what they should go with, the Utah Clubbers.
But where does the Clubbers come from? You said it's a nod to something.
Oh, it's a nod to the hockey club.
Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah, but then you have like a Yeti holding a big stake or club or something, and that's where the name comes from.
It's a very aggressive, very aggressive name. There's no way they'll approve that. Yeah, it just would be bad news for them, but that's too bad. A good name is key. You got to have a good name. All right, some bad news coming out of Minnesota.
There's good news in this episode. Yeah.
Billy Guerin tells everybody, Kirill Kaprizov, he's been out for a while. Well, he's had a setback. He now needs surgery on his lower body injury, being very vague about that. Probably a knee cleanup, I would imagine. Not season ending, which is good for the Minnesota Wild because they're right in the mix of the playoff hunt. But he's out 4 weeks. And when you look at the Minnesota Wild, when he doesn't play, it ain't good. And they've been faltering of late. They need to kind of right the ship here. And is this concerning for the Minnesota Wild? Because don't look now, Colorado's finding their footing. Everybody in that division, like we've said before, is super, super strong. Does this do anything for the Minnesota Wild at the trade deadline? Do you see them maybe pivoting if Kirill Kaprizov is out for 4 to 6 weeks? Because right now they're last place in the Central. You got Colorado, you got Vancouver on their heels for that, you know, that last spot in the Central. What do you think, Tim?
Well, third spot in the Central, not last place. But yeah, I see your point. Yeah, they're last place among the top teams there. No, I don't think this changes anything for them. He's going to be back for the playoffs. You have a 9-point lead over the St. Louis Blues, which is the team chasing you. And Colorado's only 4 points behind you. But between the two, like you're not really worried about losing a playoff spot just yet. You'd like to stay in the top three. But at the end of the day, the third spot and the first wild card aren't a huge difference. And this is not their year. Like they're going to be a good team. They're going to be a tough out, but everything's geared towards starting this summer, as we talked about. So you don't want to give up any assets to go all in this year when you're going to have all this cap space and all this stuff off your books at the end of the season. So I don't think you make any move, you don't change anything. And it's always, you know, I wouldn't say it's not a big deal when you lose your best player to a long-term injury, but they'll be fine. He'll be back. And then you just kind of see what you can do this year. And then everything starting in July.
All right, last one is Philip Grubauer signed a huge contract with the Seattle Kraken a few years ago. He's been placed on waivers, and he's having a terrible season, terrible numbers. And to kind of expedite the situation, their goaltender now, Joey Decord, is having a great season. He's the young future of this franchise. He's playing fantastic hockey. He makes $1.2 million. He's got a few years left on his deal. So they have the luxury of just waiving Philip Grubauer, sending him down to their minor league team. What are your thoughts on this, Tim? A huge swing and a miss for this team. And Philip Grubauer, does he see ice in the NHL ever again?
I've been getting these wrong lately, so I'll say yes. He's 5-15. He's letting up almost 4 goals a game and well below .900 save percentage. So yeah, this has not been a good goalie all season long. And it's been sort of covered up by the Decord playing really well and the expectation not that high for Seattle in general. So it's not like a storyline we touched on. But yeah, this is very disappointing. So I gotta imagine he's been good on good teams in the past. He's not super old, so hopefully a little conditioning stint, and whether it's a new opportunity or whether he gets called up later in the season or something, I think he will be back and be a useful goalie, but his days of being a number one are definitely behind him.
Nah, he's been crap in Seattle ever since they got him. They signed him from Colorado at the expansion drafts, almost $6 million a year for 6 years. Tim, he's 33. He's done. He will not see the net in the NHL again. He hasn't been the starter in Seattle, I want to say, in 3 years. He's been the backup. So he came in and had atrocious numbers, and they got worse year after year after year. So this is by far the worst year of his career. He won't be back. I think this is it. He had a good run. He somehow managed to sign a huge deal. His career earnings are, I don't know, $70 million. So he's fine. He'll be fine financially. But boy, swing and a miss by Seattle. Good on them for getting rid of him right now. They're going to go with Joey Decord. Smart move by them. He might come up if someone gets injured. But barring that, this guy will never step foot on an NHL ice again. That's just kind of the nature of the beast. They gave him a chance for a couple of years, and now it's done. But good on Joey Decord for forcing the situation. The kid's a good goaltender. If he only had a passport, he'd be in the Four Nations Cup, which still is mind-boggling. How do you not have I don't know how that works, because he plays in Canada all the time. He's smuggling across.
I don't know why.
It's such a strange situation. All right, I think that's it, Tim. Any other negative stuff you want to talk about?
No negative stuff. I think I said the other day we're moving in this weekend, so I'm going to be basically running back and forth between our two places. So Wish me luck. We did get a lot of advice on moving in together, which is pretty funny. A lot of it, way too much, was related to bathroom cleanliness, and that was kind of funny. But yeah, we're making it happen.
Just say you take a huge steamer and it skid marks the toilet. Do you clean it up in the first couple months of your living together, or you just let it lay there?
I would clean it up. Yeah. The good thing is we have three bathrooms and only two of us living there.
Rub it in. And, you know, some people are struggling to scrub two nickels together, and you got three bathrooms. You know how many I got in my house? 1.5.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, okay. We have 2.5 technically, but yeah, three full toilets and everything. So
gosh, you're going to dump everywhere. That's exciting. Send me some pictures. All right, everybody. Thanks for sticking around with us. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good weekend. It's supposed to be beautiful. So we'll talk to you Tuesday. Cheers.
Whether you're singing songs dressed as a traffic cone at the Ali Pali, roaring yourself hoarse on the first day of Cheltenham, or hugging a complete stranger after a 98th minute win. At Virgin Bet, we always want you to have a great time without ever losing track of your betting. So whilst there's no such thing as a dead cert, it's a good bet will help you keep it fun and safe. Visit our safer gambling hub for more info. Virgin Bet, a good bet. Bet responsibly. 18 plus, gamblerware.org.